sometimes I'm kind of a bit amazed at the conversations prior to giving an exhortation. Because when I came in, Tony said to me, all the hymns we've got on the board end with a 7. Perhaps there's some significance in that. And I thought, well, 7 in Scripture is a significant number, and it's often associated with completeness or finishing. And because that's roughly what I wanted to give my exhortation on. The idea behind it came from Mark's Gospel, the last chapter. And I think it's a lovely chapter in particular, the resurrection of Jesus. But when I was writing my exhortation, I wasn't using the King James or the New King James, which is what I've brought today. I was actually using a different version. And this one had the multiple endings of the book of Mark. The version I've got here has got a little footnote in the bottom saying certain verses were not in the original. They are lacking from this version. It was replaced with others. But the Authorized and the New King James give you one version. The version that I originally read actually gave you multiple endings. Some had an extension, had a little bit more information. Some had slightly different. And because I'd read it from that particular version, I thought, well, endings could be, or the way things finish could be something to look at by way of exhortation. If you've been watching the news recently over the past few weeks, it's almost impossible to get away from the Olympics. And today is the closing ceremony, the last day when the Olympics finish. It's actually been quite nice to have some good news for a change, because normally when you look at the news, it's all sort of death and destruction and doom and gloom. So actually having some good news, actually winning something, people from this country achieving something, was actually quite a nice positive. But as I said, today is the last day. Olympics go back a long, long time. Sports in general go a long, long time. I remember when I was, I don't know, I can't remember, 15, 16 at Gateshead, and I was given a topic to do when we had the Sunday school at Gateshead Ecclesia, and when it was actually quite big because it was before Morpeth had split off, and I don't think it might have even been around the time or just before Sunderland. So Gateshead at the time was quite a large ecclesia. And the topic that I was given to look at was sport in the Bible. And I must admit, at the time, I actually couldn't find anything. So I talked about the history of the Olympics and how that was formed and how the life of an athlete, the training, the competition could all be associated with our lives. There was one thing I remember, and it was to do with punishment for cheating back in the original Olympics. And it was actually quite severe. You didn't just get banned, you actually got whipped. But in the scriptures itself, at the end of my talk, I think it was Brother Dave Smith was there, and he came up with these verses from 2 Timothy. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul saying that he has finished the race. So looking at the word finish in the Bible, it appears over 50 times. And the vast majority of the times when the word finish appears It's talking about constructing something. The tabernacle, the ark, the furnishings, David's house, Solomon's house, and the temple, and also when the temple was rebuilt. So of the 50 times it appears, 40 plus times are talking about building. But finishing is kind of a strange word, it's a strange concept. Because often finishing leads to something else. Now, a book I read a few years ago, it was by Terry Pratchett, and he talked about finishing and the end of someone's life and saying, well, actually, what they've done doesn't just end there. They could have planted some crops, in which case the crops are there, the food's there for people to eat afterwards. They could have done all sorts of work. They could even have just wound up a clock. And that's their actions. What they have actually done is continuing beyond the end of their existence. And it's the same in Scripture. When you finish a house, that's not the end of the house. That's almost the start of the house, the beginning of the house. Because when you finish building it is when it becomes useful. While you're building a house, it's no use whatsoever. When it's complete, when it's finished, is when the house becomes useful. So that finishing becomes a beginning. And sometimes beginnings are often more important because it's what we do afterwards, what things lead on. And often there's more than one beginning. Things can all tie together to form new beginnings. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. We're talking about a beginning there. I think we're talking about the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. A new beginning. An important beginning. Because this was a beginning that leads to life for us. A bit further on in John, we have almost the other end of the story, or the continuation of the story, I suppose. John chapter 19, verse 30. Jesus hanging on the cross. When he had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. I suppose that's why we've come here, to remember Jesus' sacrifice and the bread and the wine. So when Jesus is saying, "It is finished," he's talking about one finish. But he's also talking about the start of something else, a glorious beginning. Because without this death, without his death, there would be no resurrection. So Jesus' death has started something new because he's brought us together to give us a chance of life, to allow us to be part of that sacrifice because he has created this new beginning for us. There's another meaning to finish, and it can mean to gloss or varnish or perfect. Certainly if you're there, if you're interested in woodwork, or even coming back to the example of building a house, to finish it means to smooth off the irregularities, to make it look nice, to make it look presentable. And it's another apt word, another apt application of this word finish, because we know that we are not perfect. We have our rough edges, and yet we come to Jesus to be finished, so that he will take us and he will build us into that glorious house. He will give us a polish. He will give us a covering to cover our sins, so that our sins may no longer be visible, that they will no longer be taken account of. And again, it's only through his sacrifice and his death that this could be achieved, because he became that perfect sacrifice for sin, that sin may be abolished. So in this case, in this application of the word finish, so we're looking to be perfected, to be complete. And it's only through the bread and the wine that we have before us that we can do what Jesus commanded, to follow his commandments, to eat and drink in remembrance of him. So if we keep that in our minds about finishing, I just want to quickly turn to Hebrews now and just read a few verses from Hebrews in chapter 12. Starting at verse 1. Therefore we also, since we were surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So here we have Jesus, the author and finisher. So we've come now to the bread and to the wine, his body and his blood that he gave for us, that we may have life. We come to do this in remembrance of him. So my exhortation is pretty much finished. But now we're moving on to the important part. Not just talking, but actions. And doing this in remembrance of Jesus Christ.